Hello and welcome to the last Yes to Life show of the year, and indeed the very last of the decade. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life that supports people with cancer who are looking to integrative medicine to recover their health. This week I'm talking to a regular on the show, Liz Butler, about the big week off. What's the big week off? Well, it's a guided detox and it's a fundraiser for Yes to Life. Your chance to give yourself a personal post-Christmas spring clean while raising much needed funds for the charity to continue supporting people with cancer. Now, some of you may remember that earlier in the year I did my own personal big week off as a fundraiser, and it was an enormous success on every front. Liz Butler designed my detox and supported me throughout, and she's also designed the three choices of detox for this new public event. I'm calling Liz on Skype to find out what she has in store for entrants and what they can expect from doing a detox. It's great to have you back on the Yes Live show, and really great to have you introduce an exciting new health event that anyone, anywhere can get involved in, the Big Week Off.
Hi Robin, really glad to be here, and yes, really looking forward to this event. I think it's going to be something quite unique, and hopefully it's going to help a lot of people.
So, the Big Week Off, it's all about detoxing, but detoxing in a way that's safe, it's beneficial, it's at a level that suits you, and in a way that delivers the maximum benefit to body, mind and spirit. So can we start out with the basics? To some people it may be just another of those weird new age fads. Why should anyone take detoxing seriously?
Okay, well, it is a serious subject, and I think the bottom line is that we should be taking detox seriously because we have an unprecedented level of chemical toxins out in our environment these days, and our bodies just aren't coping well with this. To give you some of the figures, humans release over 250 billion tons of chemicals into our environment each year. Wow. Tens of thousands of new chemicals have been introduced over the last few decades. What's interesting and surprises a lot of people is we sort of would imagine that these new chemicals coming into our environment would have been safety tested. But this is quite shocking. There's actually no data at all for about 21% of these chemicals. 65% have got insufficient data, and only about 3% have been really rigorously tested. But the trouble is that even with full safety data, this is still likely to be inadequate to give us really deep understanding of the effects of these chemicals on our health, because in reality, we're never exposed to one chemical in isolation or two or three. We're exposed to hundreds of different chemicals, and they work synergistically. They work together, and so the effects of one plus one equals much more than two. And so it's impossible to test really in depth what the impact is of this whole myriad of chemicals that we're exposed to. So because of that reason, we are, you know, guinea pigs in a way. No one knows really what the long-term effect of being exposed to these chemicals are. And a lot of these chemicals will accumulate in the body. That's the other thing to say. And that's the other reason why safety testing isn't all that accurate, because it might measure what the effect of a chemical is now, but we don't know what the long-term effect is as those chemicals build up over time. So that's really worrying. And there are increasingly experts speaking out about this, experts that are really concerned about what the impact might be on our health. And it's not just individual scientists. There's plenty of individual scientists, but it's not just them, and it's not just smaller organisations. For example, the World Health Organization back in 2006 said that almost a quarter of all disease was caused by environmental exposure.
Wow.
In young children, even the figure's even higher, about a third of disease. Mm. So there is concern. I mean, if we look at cancer in particular, again, we've had some reports coming out saying that there were problems. So back in, I think it was 2005, there was a report that said that up to 30% of cancers could be caused by environmental toxins. And then later on, there was a report done by an organization in America. That was 2010. It was done by an organisation called the President's Cancer Panel. This was an advisory committee made up of doctors and scientists that was actually appointed by US President George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so this report was on environmental cancer risk. And they reported that there really is a problem. In fact, a quote from that report is, "The true burden of environmentally induced cancer has been grossly underestimated."
Mm.
So, you know, there is concern. And if we look at the statistics for what's happening with cancer, I think that tells a really interesting story. So, the number of new cancer diagnoses in the UK per year has risen by more than 27% since 2001. Now, sometimes people say, oh, cancer rates are going up because we're better at diagnosing now. Well, I'm not going back that far. 2001, I think we were pretty good at diagnosing cancer then. The other argument is, well, we've got an increasingly aging population.
Yeah.
And yes, that will certainly have some influence on these stats. But we're talking about 27%, getting on for a third increase since 2001.
That's enormous.
Which is a huge figure. And on the aging thing, another interesting statistic is that incident rates for childhood cancers in the UK
mm-hmm.
have increased by 13% to 13
mm-hmm.
since the early 1990s. So obviously you can't put that down to aging. We're talking about children here. Mm-hmm. Now our genes are not going to have changed in that time period. We're talking about a short, very short time period. And yet we're seeing really significant rises in the number of cancer diagnoses. So we have to assume, if there's not some changes going on with our genes, that it's something about our lifestyle, it's something about our environment. And so I think, you know, if we look at these stats, and it's not just cancer, by the way, other diseases that have been linked and associated with toxins in our environment, things like allergies, brain and developmental disorders and immune diseases, all of these types of diseases are increasing as well, and also infertility, which again has been linked to toxicity, is another growing problem. Sperm counts have been dropping really quite dramatically. Studies estimate by about 2% per year. Again, you know, this is down to lifestyle and it's down to our environment. So I feel that this issue has been overlooked somewhat, dismissed a little bit at times. You know, being really honest about this, I think one of the issues is that to make changes to what's going on with our toxicity in the environment. And it's not just chemical toxicity. We have to think about electromagnetic toxicity as well, another big problem. I think that to make real changes in these areas is going to involve big businesses making changes, and that's not always popular. But I've got a quote here that I wanted to read to you from a scientist that has been outspoken. He's done quite a lot of research in this area. He's a clinician and a researcher, and his work focuses on environmental factors and their impact on health. He has said, future generations may look back with astonishment and wonder how our culture thought it could stand by and tolerate the poisoning of its people and somehow not anticipate the ravages of widespread disordered biochemistry and ill health. And so going back to your question, why is detox important? It's important because we're living in unprecedented times with our exposure to chemical and electromagnetic toxicity greater than ever. And yes, our bodies do have inbuilt detoxification systems. We've evolved to cope with some level of toxicity, but our bodies haven't been able to adapt fast enough to what's going on in our environment these days. And I think we're seeing the consequences of that with rising rates in the types of diseases that I've said. And so I think that, you know, while we can't shield ourselves from some of these toxins in our environment, what we can do is minimize our exposure to some degree, certainly within our home, and we can also support our detoxification systems and help them cope with the level of toxins in our environment.
Okay.
So quite a long answer, but
it was a long answer, but you've certainly made the case for why everybody should consider joining in on the big week off. Obviously, it is a very serious subject indeed, detoxification, and more and more people are beginning to realise that, fortunately. So even though you're really well known for your work in the field of nutrition and cancer, that's what you've put the most of your career into, let's assume there's still one or two listeners left out there who don't know anything at all about you. What puts you in a position to be advising us on detoxing?
I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't know what I do out there. So I have for 20 years been supporting people with cancer, focusing mainly on nutrition. My first degree was in biochemistry, so I suppose I've always been interested in the chemicals of the body and what they do. And, you know, that naturally lends itself to nutrition. But when you study nutrition, most of the courses, I'm sure, they do look at the good things that you're putting into your body through your food, but also the not so good things that you're putting into your body, either through your food or through environmental exposure. And so that is a part of the way I was trained in nutrition. I've always been very drawn to a naturopathic approach to nutrition, which sort of in a nutshell really talks a lot about how nature heals. And a large part of naturopathic nutrition is about cleansing the body and detoxification. So I've always been interested and drawn to that approach. Another thing that I think really influenced me earlier in my career was I did some training with Charlotte Gerson, who's the daughter of Max Gerson, who developed the Gerson approach to cancer treatment. And so I did a training course, a residential course over about a week, where we got taught by Charlotte and some other fantastic teachers. And we also had to almost live the Gerson therapy while we did this course. Right. So we were doing a detox diet and enemas and all sorts. But, you know, the basis of the Gerson approach is about clearing toxins from the body. Mm. Max Gerson was really clear that he felt at the root of cancer was a dysfunction of the liver not working properly, largely because of a buildup of toxicity in the body. So I learned a great deal on that course about how important it is when someone's healing from a serious illness to really take the toxic burden off the body as much as possible through various cleansing and detox dietary approaches. So I think that really influenced me as well. Mm. And, you know, working in this field for 20 years, I've just come to realize and see and observe in my clients how important it is to, as I say, take the toxic load off the body as much as possible and free up the energy and the other resources of the body that are necessary and important for healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. So rewind a few months, and you supported me through 7 days of detoxing, a personal fundraiser that I called The Big Week Off, and it formed the basis of The Big Week Off that we're launching today on the 12th of January. Now, I'd already done some 3-day detoxes before, but I didn't really know what I'd expect moving up to 7 days. But I found that while there were some aspects that were fairly challenging, it was generally easier than I might have expected. So it's interesting, what sort of difficulties do you think people might expect to encounter doing a detox?
Well, I'm glad you found it easier than you expected, Robin. That's great. I think it's interesting because people tend to think that the longer a detox is, the more difficult it's going to be. Mm. But actually, it tends to be the first few days that are more difficult as your body's adapting to having less calories and a different diet. And as you go on, it does tend to get easier. Also, what can happen is that during the first few days is your body's really mobilizing those toxins and drawing them from the sites of storage. Because, and let me just go back a minute and explain a bit about what's happening in a detox. Mm. So really what you're doing with a detox is you are reducing the calorie intake. First of all, you're trying to minimize your exposure to new toxins. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's really one half of the story. And then the other half of the story is that you're trying to support and enhance the functioning of your inbuilt detoxification systems. And so by reducing your calorie intake, you take a load off the digestive system and the normal metabolic processes that go on, and therefore you free up energy and resources so that the body can clear out and get rid of the waste. So in those first few days, as the calorie intake goes down, then your body starts to draw toxins from sites of storage. Because when we are exposed to chemical toxins, what the body does, if it can't eliminate these toxins immediately, then it stores them away in places where they can do less damage. Mm. Toxins are most damaging when they're circulating in our blood, when they have access to our delicate organs. Right. And so to minimize the negative impact, the body stores them away in our fat tissues, sometimes our connective tissues. But when we do a detox, the body starts to draw those toxins out from those sites of storage. And so what that can mean is that you can start to feel a bit under the weather, let's say, in the first few days as more toxins are circulating in the system. You can have mild detox reactions, detox symptoms, such as perhaps a headache or energy dropping, sometimes skin breakouts or bad breath. You know, those types of symptoms can occur. But as time goes on, these symptoms should pass. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you start to feel the real benefits. And I think you did, Robin, after a few days, your energy starts to lift, your head clears, and you start to think more clearly, and you feel really good. So that's what we would anticipate after a few days of doing something like this.
Right. Okay, so there's three levels on offer in the Big Week Off. And I'm sure some people will naturally be drawn to either starting cautiously and doing a 24-hour detox, just dipping their toe in, while others be there wanting to plunge right in the deep end kind, and they'll want to go straight into 7 days. So for people who are completely new to this territory, what would you say to them?
So, yes, we have three levels. We have a 1-day, a 4-day, and a 7-day detox because, you know, people are at all different stages with their health, and for some people this will be a brand new thing for them. They will have never done any sort of cleanse or detox before. And if that's the case, then it's probably best to start off with a 1-day. I mean, if someone's strong and fit and healthy, they can leap straight in and do something longer. if they feel up for it. And, you know, it's, I said it gets easier as time goes on, but it's obviously more of a challenge to do a 7-day detox than it is a 1-day.
Right.
So if someone really feels they're up for a whole week of cutting their calories and eating a very clean diet, then go for it. But the people who are a bit unsure of how their body will cope, particularly people who are unwell, then I would say maybe best to just start off by dipping your toe in, as you say, and doing the 1 day. Mm. If they get on well with that, they can always go on and do something a bit longer later on.
But if someone's a bit adventurous, there's nothing wrong with starting out with the full 7 if they think they're going to be up for it.
Absolutely. There are some cautions which you may want me to talk about now, or we'll talk about in a minute. But generally speaking, these detoxes that we've put together are pretty gentle. They're still powerful and still quite intense, but they're relatively gentle.
Yeah.
And so that means that they're very safe. There are some cautions, so you know I'll list them now.
Sure.
For people who are unwell, you know, with something like cancer or another chronic disease, then I think it's always best to check with your doctor or medical health professional, just to make sure it's appropriate, especially for people who are on medication. So that's the first thing to say. And it might be that it's still fine to do something like this, but it's always best to check. And it might be that in that situation, it's fine to go ahead, but it is just worth getting the input and supervision of a health professional, such as a nutritional therapist or a naturopath or someone, just to keep an eye on things. So that's one area to be aware of. So then other things, if someone's pregnant, then this is something to be very careful of. I would probably say don't do anything more than a 1 day. And if someone really wants to do more than that, definitely get supervision from a health professional. If someone is got mental health problems or addictions, again, this is something that would require some supervision from a health professional. If someone has poor blood sugar control or diabetes, again, I would say get supervision. So there's a few things. If people have really severe gut problems, a severe irritable bowel or Crohn's disease, or inflammatory bowel disease, something along that nature, then again, I think it's best to get some advice and supervision. So those are the few cautions. For most people, one of our levels will be fine, but always best to just check our list of cautions, which will be on your website. And if there's any doubt, make sure you speak to a health professional before going ahead.
All right, good. Sort all that out. Thank you very much. Okay, so while you spent years working with nutrition and cancer, and this is what you're best known for, alongside you've also taken what's been a growing interest in the role of the mind and spirit in physical well-being. In fact, this is an area you're now wanting to focus on a lot more. Do you want to say why and what your plans are going forward?
Yes, thanks for that opportunity. So I have always been very interested in the role of the mind and the spirit in health, and not just throughout my career working in the cancer field, but really since a child I was really interested in all of these topics and read a lot about them. And I couldn't help but see how the mind and spirit impacted the health of my clients. Obviously, working in the cancer field, you are dealing with people that are very often facing a serious diagnosis. And I think at times like that in our life, we do start to think more about our emotional health and our spiritual health. So it's always fascinated me how emotional and spiritual well-being has an impact on our physical health. And we're really starting to see research to support this now, and more and more people talking about the effect of the mind on health. We've got a whole field, psychoneuroimmunology now, which studies how the mind impacts on our nervous system and our immune system and our endocrine system. So it's becoming much more established in the science. Yes, I've really, really enjoyed supporting people with diet and other aspects of lifestyle, so physical aspects like exercise, getting enough sleep and rest, and I still believe just as much that they are vitally important. But moving forward, I've sort of come to a point in my career where I really want to focus more on how I can help people on the emotional and spiritual side. I want to do that, A, because it's an area that fascinates me. B, I think it's an area that's been underestimated for a long time in terms of how powerful it is in impacting on physical health. See, I think it's an area where there aren't that many, I mean, compared to nutrition, there aren't that many practitioners out there really focusing on this side of things when it comes to people with cancer. So that's the area that I feel I want to focus on moving forward, and have set up a new business called Your Healing Heart, which is all about working with people on a one-to-one basis in those areas of emotional and spiritual health. It's called Your Healing Heart because I've done some training with the HeartMath Institute. I don't know if your listeners will have heard of the HeartMath Institute. They're an American organization. I highly recommend anyone that's interested in emotional and spiritual well-being and energy medicine, I recommend they Google HeartMath and find out a bit about them. They've done some amazing research, and they're particularly focused on the role of the heart on an energetic level. So we know what the role of the heart is on a physical level in our body. Mm-hmm. But what we're coming to understand is that the heart has a very powerful energetic field in our body. So all of our organs have energy fields, but the energy field of the heart is much more powerful than any other organ, even 60 times more powerful than the brain. And what we're discovering is this energy field that the heart generates is very important in regulating the energy systems of the body as a whole. Now, where the emotional side comes in is that we know, and this is not a new understanding, our ancient ancestors knew this, that our emotions affect the energy of the heart, and the energy of the heart affects our emotions. It's a two-way thing. And so what I'm doing in my work is supporting people through emotional health, which then supports their heart energy, which then supports their physical well-being. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason that it's called Your Healing Heart. And so my last venture was Cancer Clarity, and that's still going to continue in a sort of education way. So my colleague Sylvia Grisendi and I, we set up Cancer Clarity, and we created an online program, Seven Elements of Healing. That's still available from our personal websites. But this new direction for me is really where I'm going to put most of my attention. As I said, it's where I feel my interest lies, but also where I think there's a particular need for people with cancer.
Interesting. All right, well, look, now I want to relate this to what we're doing here with the big week off. How would you tie this in with detoxing?
So the emotional side, well, that's fascinating. I mean, it's always really struck me how when I take people through a physical detox, which I've done a lot in my work, how it very often leads people to start releasing on an emotional level. And it shouldn't really surprise us, because we know that the body and the mind and the spirit are really as one. You know, we can't divide the body and the mind and the spirit. We're all energy when you get right down to the basics, and energy can't be divided. And so if we're looking at this in energy terms, then we're a complete energy system. And so if we start releasing on a physical level, it makes sense that we start to let go and release on an emotional level too. And I think this is a very important and powerful part of a detox, is how we seem to bring emotions to the surface that need some attention from us. I mean, it's very common, and we all do it, that when we've had challenges in our life and it's caused emotional upset, that sometimes we push these feelings down, we push them away because they're a bit too difficult to deal with, and so we sort of brush them under the carpet and ignore them. But we're beginning to understand that when we do that, it actually causes energetic changes within our system, which can have a negative impact on our physical health. Mm. And so because the body naturally wants to move in a direction of health, if you give it any opportunity, it will want to do that. And so if it sees that you're ready to release and let go, then it will do that on different levels. And it's interesting because in traditional Chinese medicine, they do associate emotions with particular organs. So, for example, the liver is very much associated with anger. And the kidneys, for example, are associated with fear, and the lungs with grief. And I have noticed that when people are doing detoxes that focus on particular organs, that often those related emotions do come up. In my work with clients, I often do a liver-focused detox or a kidney-focused detox, and you see those emotions coming up. So, yes, this area has always really fascinated me. And as I said before, I think this is a very powerful aspect, a beneficial aspect of what detoxing can do for us.
Mm. An emotional detox as well. It does, very much so. Yeah, thank you.
Just one last thing. I think a way that sort of helps people think about this is energy needs to flow. It needs to move. And it's a bit like a river flowing. But when we have toxins in the body, be they physical toxins or emotional toxins and energetic toxins, it means the energy of our system can't flow. And so when you do a detox, it's about getting rid of those blockages, releasing those physical toxic wastes, bringing those emotional toxins to the surface and releasing those as well. And then the energy of the system can flow. And again, but going back to traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine or traditional Greek medicine, all of those traditional medicines talk about energy being absolutely part of the core of how we work. And as I said before, energy needs to flow, it needs to move. And anything that's inhibiting that will have an impact on our physical well-being.
Mm-hmm. Right, makes sense. Okay, so can we get down to the kind of the nuts and bolts of the programs that have been devised, the ones you put together? What's going to be involved in each of the three programs? You could just briefly tell us.
Yeah. So basically, as I said before, a detox really has two aspects to it. One is to minimize exposure to new toxins, and the other is to support and enhance the functions of the body's inbuilt detoxification systems. Mm-hmm. So whatever protocol people decide to do, whether it's the 1, the 4, or the 7 day, there'll be a bit of information on how we can minimize our exposure to new toxins. Now, people do need to understand that this is a journey and a learning curve when it comes to cleaning up our environment that we live in. It's not something we can do overnight.
Right.
So, you know, if this detox program gets people interested in how they can clean up their home environment, their work environment, be working on that side of things over time, then I think that will be amazing, because we are going to give a few tips on how people can do that immediately. But it is something that takes a bit of study and a bit of time. So that's one side of it. And then in terms of supporting and enhancing our detoxification systems, we are going to talk about diet. And it is going to be a relatively low calorie diet. Having said that, I'm not going to encourage people to starve themselves. This isn't an intense fasting diet. People will still be eating throughout the number of days that they do, but we are going to cut down the number of calories, and the foods people will be eating will be very clean, if you know what I mean by that word. So there'll be no additives, no processed foods, no things like alcohol, caffeine, refined sugars. It's going to be mostly vegan, so very, very little animal products. People have a choice. If they want to go completely vegan, then that's one of the options. But if people feel that they need a little bit of animal protein, and some people do feel this, some people find on a completely vegan diet they don't feel so good. So for people who want a bit of animal protein in there, there'll be a little bit of fish as an option, but generally speaking it will be meat free, egg free, dairy free. So a very clean diet. As I said, no caffeine, plenty of water. We're going to recommend some juices, a vegetable broth, and lots of vegetables and fruits, as you would imagine. So that's the diet. And then I am going to talk about some other techniques that people can use to support their detoxification systems. Some simple techniques. So we're not going to go into things like coffee enemas on this detox, because I think that really needs supervision. But we are going to talk about simple things like skin brushing, which everyone can do. Really easy. You just need a long-handled natural bristle brush that you can get from pretty much any pharmacy. Really easy to do. And what that does, it encourages the flow of the lymphatic system. Now, our lymphatic system is one of our most important detoxification systems. It very often gets a bit forgotten, our lymphatic system, but if we look after it, then that really serves us very well. So what the skin brushing does is it helps to keep the lymph moving, because unlike the circulatory system that has the heart to pump the blood, the lymphatic system doesn't have a pump in the same way. It relies on our muscular movements and our breathing movements to keep the lymph flowing. But when we do the skin brushing, it just encourages the lymph to move through the body and helps us clear toxins from the system. So skin brushing, we're going to talk about hot and cold showers. sounds a little bit scary, but this is like a mini hydrotherapy session that anyone can do in their own shower, where you alternate the hot and cold water. And that, again, stimulates the lymphatic system. So another great technique that we can do easily. I will mention saunas. For some people, they're able to get to a sauna, so that can help as well. And then we will also talk a bit about other lifestyle factors that can just help us through a detox. So getting out into nature. Unfortunately, at this time of year, it's not the best time of year for a bit of grounding, i.e. walking barefoot on the earth.
No.
Not ideal in January, but just being outside in fresh air in nature is very healing to the body, very cleansing. So we're going to talk a bit about that. We're going to talk about limiting exposure to our electrical devices, having a bit of a digital detox at the same time. Wow. We'll talk about getting enough sleep and rest, and also relaxation, and making sure that people have a bit of time, quiet time, over that detox period to really check in with themselves, to really find out if there are emotional things coming up. And we'll give a few ideas on how to handle that if there are things coming up. So that's an important point, really. If people are interested in doing this detox, then it's a good idea to make sure they have a bit of space in their schedule during those several days, so that they've got a bit more time for rest and reflection.
Mm. Anyway, all sounds just the ticket after maybe a Christmas holiday of excess.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think the beginning of the year is the perfect time to do something like this, because, you know, at the end of the year, it's all about celebration and there's a bit of indulgence going on very often.
Right.
And, you know, it's good for us to celebrate, have fun and indulge ourselves from time to time. But at the beginning of the year, it's all about a new start and it's about letting go of the old. And the energy at that time of year is very, very supportive for us in letting go of the past and letting go of the old. And it's about cleansing and looking forward and putting intentions in place for how we want to live over the next year. And this gives us a bit of a kickstart in that it helps to focus our mind in moving forward and also to really clear out the body and move forward in a healthy way.
Great. So you're going to have your sleeves rolled up during the week when this is going on and going to be engaged with the whole thing. Would you like to tell us what you're planning?
Yes, so we're going to have, you and I are going to be sending out daily emails to everyone involved and signed up with the event. And in those emails, we'll have a bit of written advice. And we're also going to do some videos, and we'll cover all sorts of things, just supporting people as they go through the detox and what to expect and how they might feel, and also some extra tips and, you know, recipe ideas and things like that. So yes, I'll be involved in those emails, but also we'll be in, on social media, answering people's questions and just giving a bit of moral support as people go through this.
So that's an important aspect. It's going to be a kind of a bit of a social aspect to the whole thing. I mean, some people like the solo flight kind of idea, but other people I know would love to be in touch with other people doing on the same journey. And this will certainly be possible, and you'll be in there as well, talking to people all along the way. So that's great. Coming around to the other side of the whole thing, this is about detox, but it's also a fundraising event for Yes to Life. And when I did my own big week off a few months back, I had a pretty ambitious target of 7K in 7 days. I actually raised even more than that, amazingly. But we're not really expecting that of our entrance to this public event. 7K would be great if you can manage that, but the minimum target's £150. And we'll be giving out helpful tips on how to easily maximise your fundraising. This kind of win-win aspect of the big week off, where you benefit at the same time as helping people with cancer through Yes to Life, is the really great thing about the event, I think. I was thinking that no doubt you have something to say about the effect that doing something to help others has on our own well-being.
That's an interesting point. And just going back to something you said before about doing something as a large community, I think that's very powerful. And again, it comes down to energy. There's, when we do something together as a collective, it creates an energy system. And when we're all involved and doing something together, something that's a bit challenging, then it helps to get that energetic support as you go through it. It really adds to the experience. And so I think people will really enjoy that. Even though people won't be physically with one another, they can connect on social media. And I think there'll be something really lovely about doing this as part of a collective.
Mm.
And yes, and doing something that's going to help others in the long run is good for us. And we know that from the science that, one of the best ways of making ourselves feel good emotionally is to actually help others. And so by raising money for an excellent cause, then, you know, that's what people are doing, and it will give them a lift, I'm sure.
And on the point about people not actually being together, well, they might be. There's always a good case for kind of getting a few other people at the office, for example, to join you at the same time, or even in amongst your family. That kind of direct support and kind of team rah-rah can be very helpful with something like this, I think.
Yeah, really good point. Yes, absolutely. I think, I've done detoxes in the past, and I usually get my partner on board to do it with me, because he actually, when I first met him, he needed a bit of convincing, but after doing a few and really seeing the benefits, he's really on board now. And it's always easier to do it when the other members of your household are doing it as well. So yeah, good point.
Makes sense. Okay, well, look, we're just about out of time. Would you like to finish up by summing up what you think is in store for participants at every level, the kind of headline reasons why joining in with the big week off is a great idea for their health and well-being?
Yeah, well, I think that detoxing, as I said right at the beginning, is a serious subject that has been a little bit dismissed. You know, at January time, we get the same old articles about celebs doing detoxes, and it's all treated as a bit of a joke, a bit of a fad, but it's not. It's something really serious that I think we all need to wake up to. And I think it's something that we should get into the habit of doing maybe once, twice, three times a year, just to give ourselves a bit of a health boost. And it does depend on what our lifestyle is the rest of the year. If we have, if we live in a big polluted city, or we have chemical exposures in through our work, or, you know, we drink a lot of alcohol, or we're a smoker, then I think there's even more reason to do these things. And I think it's just good to be in the habit of doing a detox like this several times a year, just to give yourself a bit of a boost, but also to know that you are protecting your body against disease later in life. You know, the less toxins we have in our system, the less risk we have of developing certain diseases. So I think that's a really, really important reason to keep in mind. And I think that if people do feel inspired to get on board and join the event, then I'm not saying it's going to be easy in every moment. There probably will be some challenges, especially if you go for the longer detox protocols. But it will ultimately, I'm very sure, make you feel good. And I think it will be fun. And hopefully it will teach you quite a lot about how your body functions. And it will set you up for doing similar things and later on in the year and beyond. And as I said before, that can only be a good thing for our health.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks for laying out the territory. I hope there's a lot of people listening who are taking this seriously and might want to join us in taking the big week off and giving this whole area of detoxing a try.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care.
So I hope that's whetted your appetite to make the leap and sign up for the big week off. By this point in the Christmas holidays, you may already be certain that a January detox is just the ticket for rebalancing recent excesses. So don't hold back. Yes to Life really needs your support, so this is definitely a win-win event. Go to the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, click the link to the big week off right at the top of the homepage. There you can find everything you need to know to join in with the big week off. So all that remains is for me to wish you a happy and healthy 2020. I look forward to introducing you to many more experts and pioneers from the field of integrative medicine in the coming year. Goodbye.